Well, what had happened to Israel? Verses 27 and 29. Only a remnant's going to be saved. God's going to cut short the work because in righteousness, he's going to make a short work on the earth. What happened to Israel? Well, in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, Jesus told us exactly what was going on. The 23rd chapter of Matthew, he's confronted the Pharisees. He's told them, "Woe unto you, you fools, you're blind." They had rejected everything he had to say. And then in the 37th verse of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says to this, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I want to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate." What had happened to Israel? Why had they been found wanting? Though they were as numerous as the children, as the sands of the sea, why would there be only a remnant would be saved? Because they had chosen to reject the Messiah. Do you get the concept of man's free will? It's written there, right there in the last couple of words Jesus says, "But you were not willing." God would not impose his design upon you. He would not force you to acknowledge him. He would not force you to bend knee. He gave you the choice and you rejected him because you were not willing, Israel. Well, could much the same be said about the United States today? We sang some great songs, saw some great pictures. Don and I got up Friday morning and I was determined, I am not thinking about the church. I'm not thinking about the fish fry. I'm not thinking about what has to be done. I am going to vegetate. I made a run up to McDonald's to get us one of those fine breakfasts of their sausage burritos and their hash browns. Got it ready, sat down and turned on the History Channel and watched hours of the story of the Revolution. It's a documentary. If you've never watched it, it's excellent. Donna got a big surprise in the documentary. You remember in your history there was a German guy who helped us out, Baron von Steubing? And von Steubing couldn't get a job anywhere. No other country's armies wanted him. But we were in such trouble, he came to America. And we brought him in because we didn't know what the problem was. The problem had been that while he was in Europe, von Steubing got a reputation for liking young future soldiers. Yeah. Quite an interesting documentary. Learned some things I didn't know, some things I would have preferred not to know, but that's the way it is. But here's what I did know already. I knew what this country was founded upon. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created, right, and are endowed by their Creator. Does that sound like atheists to you? Sound like people who didn't believe? And Diana, how did it actually first read? I was out of the room at the point where you said the way Thomas Jefferson first wrote it. We hold these truths to be divinely sacred. Thomas Jefferson, that's how he actually wrote it. They changed it because Benjamin Franklin didn't want it to. He was very afraid of a king and a king in religion and all of that. But that's how it's written. We hold these truths to be divinely sacred, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator. The least religious of our founding fathers is generally considered to be Benjamin Franklin. When the war was over, he was still in Congress. He was in his 80s at a time where the average age was 35 at death. He was in his 80s. And the Continental Congress was now arguing, fighting over the Bill of Rights, and it's recorded. You see, one of the great things that our founding fathers did is they made a motion, and it was approved, that every word ever spoken in Congress would be recorded. It still is today. If you wanted to go back in history and find the old truths, you could find a lot. And here's what Benjamin Franklin said, and I'm paraphrasing. He rose up and he said, "Gentlemen, I've lived a long time. At the time that we were in war with England, we knew, we were conscious of the fact that there was a divine Creator. And we offered up prayers in this body every day. I have lived a long time, sirs. And the longer I live, the more I'm a believer in this. God governs in the affairs of men. Israel forgot God. They played their religious games. They had a devoutness, but it was all about form. Do we pray the right way? Do we walk only so many steps on the Sabbath? Do we study so many of the Scriptures? Give us the rules and the regulations. And Jesus said, you missed the most important thing because you rejected me. I wanted to take you in and care for you, but you were not willing. Why? Verses 30 through 32. What shall we say then? The Gentiles did not pursue righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith. As it were, they sought it by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. We are a church who preaches salvation by the grace of God. We don't want to know what religious calisthenics you've done. We don't care about what church your name has been on. What we want to know is, have you believed on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because the works that we do are not to be saved. They are the outcome of the reality that we are saved. Why would I care for God's creation? Because I love my mother, the earth? No. I would care for God's creation because in Genesis, God gave mankind dominion over the earth. And in having dominion over the earth and being a child of the living God, I am to care for God's creation, not for Mother Earth, Father whatever, Sophie the planet, none of that. I care for the earth because it's God's creation. And he's told me to care for it. I don't do it hoping to have some great reward in heaven. I do it because Jesus Christ has already promised me a home in heaven. Our motives are different. Why should we care about, in the song Dinah sang, the poor? Because God cared. Why should we care about those who are hurting? Because God cared. I'm going to be bringing to the church Wednesday night at the business meeting an opportunity that has come to have a 12-step biblically-based support group here at the church. They want to come on Thursday nights. It's one of the nights that we don't have anything going. It's one of the few nights, guys, okay? And they said, would you have some times available? I said, I can give you basically this. I don't have Monday available because the Girl Scouts meet. I don't have Tuesday night available because I have men's Bible study. I don't have Wednesday night available. We got mid-Wednesday service. During the week, there's school here all day. But I do have Thursday evening available. And they said, oh, Thursday evening sounds wonderful. Okay, now, I told them, I can't give you approval. I don't have the authority to do that. I will bring it to the church. Are the people who come to this support group going to look the way we think they should all look? Probably not. Are they going to be some down and outers? Yes. I don't know how many of you now consider yourself up and inners, but I know the church has to have a place to reach out to the down and out, to those who are hurting, to those who are lost. I knew some of you when you accepted Jesus Christ, and if you consider yourself an up and inner now, I remember when you were a down and outer. I remember what I was when God got me and he wasn't getting any great shakes. And I knew some of you when God got you, and I can promise you he wasn't getting any great shakes. He had to claim each one of us. Lost within our own sin. Lost within our own self. And we need to reach out to those whom God loved. And my word says he loved them all. Now, faith. The reality of faith. They, the Jews, did not seek God by faith. They didn't seek it under any other way than the works they could do. If their teachers had said, don't walk more than 50 feet on a Sabbath, then that could get them into heaven. Rules and regs, regs and rules. I did not come to know Jesus Christ because of his rules and regs. It was the mentor, Paul said. The law showed me my need of a redeemer. But when the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, he didn't speak to me and say, come keep my laws. He said, come accept my love. He didn't say, here's my rules. He said, here's my Redeemer. He didn't say, walk this way. He said, walk this way in me. What's Israel's chance? And what's anyone's chance? What must happen for Israel, but what must happen for any who desire to have a relationship with the living God? Verse 33 says, behold, I lay in Zion, Israel, a stumbling block, a stone and a rock of offense, but whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Well, we were in Matthew just a short time ago, in that 23rd chapter, and I read to you the 37th and 38th verse, but I didn't cover you the 39th verse. This is what Jesus said to Israel. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. I may not have spoken those exact words, and you may not have spoken those exact words, but we understood blessedness. And we understood that blessedness was in Jesus Christ. And it was he alone who could wash me clean and make me whole and make me pure. He placed a desire in my heart from the day I was born. I had an emptiness inside of me. So do most of us. So do all of us till we come to know Jesus. Some of you may have it today. And mankind seeks to fill that emptiness with whatever he can find. If alcohol will cure, help me with that hurt, let me try alcohol. Problem is, you sober up. Drugs, you come down. Prestige can be lost in the twinkling of an eye. Possessions, a lot of Americans are finding out about their possessions right now. My title of my job. You know, I used to be called a district manager with Equitable Life. Great title. Great title. Implies territory. You know what I did? I trained agents to sell insurance. But they didn't call me sales manager. They called me district manager. I liked the title a lot better. It left just like that. Because God called me to preach. My daughter was 4 years old at the time. I used to have an office at 5151 East Broadway. Nice office, corner, had views from both sides. One Christmas, my kids came, and we went up to the top of the building. I think it's 17 or 18 stories. And I knew the security guard, and he led us to, and they get to get up to the very top and look out through the windows. Kate thought it was the neatest thing in the world. She was 4 years old. When I became a preacher, Kate didn't understand all the ramifications of that, but she understood my office wasn't nearly as nice. And she grabbed me one day. She said, Daddy, I know God wants you to preach, but could you keep your old office? You see, she saw a little more prestige in that. Unfortunately, far too many adults think the same thing, hoping somehow or another to cover up that hole inside of us. Do you know what that hole is? It's the place where God fits. For he created you in his image. You are endowed by your Creator. The Bible says, do you know when man came to life? When he created all the animals, they were living. But it says he breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of man, and man became a living being. Without the breath of God itself, we're never truly alive. That breath, salvation in Jesus Christ. So, if I had a message for America today, it would be, for Sodom and Gomorrah, America, you are becoming that. For you've left your first love. You've forgotten the basis upon which you were founded. If I had a message for the church, it would be this. Do not kid yourself and believe that you can be a part of the physical body of God. You must be a part of the spiritual body of God. Not all those who say they are of Israel are of Israel. Only those who have understood the spiritual things of God. Last week, I sat in a meeting where they reported some things that had happened in the Southern Baptist Convention last year. We have 42,000 churches. 42,000. Bragging number. 14,000 of those churches did not lead one person to Jesus Christ. One third. 14,000. Now, I got to thinking about that, and I realized that every church had a pastor, maybe only part of a year or sometime in the year. But that means 14,000 preachers didn't lead anybody to Jesus Christ. If they average 2 deacons, 28,000 deacons. If they average 3 Sunday school teachers, 42,000 Sunday school teachers. If they average 100 people per church, 4.2 million who did not lead one person to Jesus Christ. This church is not here for business as usual. I remember reading a sign on a business one day. It said, gone out of business. And then it said, forgot what our business was. And I thought of an old story, and some of you have heard it, so bear with me. Some of you never heard it before. An evangelist used to come into town. And when he'd come into town, the host preacher would pick him up, and the first place they'd go is Popeye's Fried Chicken. He loved Popeye's. And he always ordered the same thing. I need 2 pieces of chicken, dark meat. I need a strawberry soda. I need some fries. And I need an apple pie. He got picked up and they went to Popeye's. And he said, I need 2 pieces of dark chicken. I need a strawberry soda, french fries, and apple pie. And the voice through the box said, we don't have any chicken. He said, what? He says, we don't have any chicken. And he told the preacher in the car, he said, back the car up. And he looked up at the sign. And he drove back up. He said, you are guilty of false advertising. Your sign doesn't say strawberry soda. It doesn't say french fries. It doesn't say apple pie. It says chicken. And if you do not have chicken, you're guilty of false advertising. I believe there are far too many churches in America who put a cross on a steeple but have forgotten about the Jesus inside. They've got fellowship. They got friendship. They got this program. They got that program. They got the best music you ever heard. They got the best pianist around. They got the best vocalist. They got programs coming out their ears. But you couldn't find Jesus in their church if you went looking for him because they've forgotten their first love. That's never going to be this church as long as God leaves me the pastor here, because this church is going to celebrate Jesus. That's who we are. And we're going to celebrate with the redeemed. We sing the song, Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Why do I love to proclaim it? Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's why I like to proclaim it. His child. Forever, I am. If today, guys, if you haven't caught wind over the last 6 months that there's a new breeze blowing through this church, you need to check your pulse. Okay? We aren't going to do things the way we've always done them. One of the definitions of insanity is to do something the same way over and over again when it doesn't work. Right? Now, we saw a brother baptized, and I got news for you. We got 7 or 8 more ready to be baptized. I got a whole family ready to be baptized. We're going to keep baptizing. I learned a long time ago that when those waters are stirring, other waters in the church stay still. And the lost are going to come to know Jesus, and I don't care where we find them, because we are going to go in the highways and the byways and the hedges and the hedgerows. And if they won't come on their own, then the Word of God says, compel them to come in, that my house might be filled. And come September or October, we are going to start a second worship, because we learned right before the summer started that we were crowded to a point we needed another worship. And I don't know how that's going to be. And I don't know if Andrew's going to preach one and I preach one or we split change off. I don't know when the praise band is playing, when the pianist is playing. Don't care right now. What I want to know is, are the saved going to fill the pews of God and bring the lost with them? Because that's all that's going to really matter. And if they won't come, then we will go out and compel them that they might come. God said that His house might be filled. The lost are going to get saved. The redeemed are going to grow. The saints are going to glorify. And this church is going to become a place where when they drive by, at that corner they sit there and know something's different there. Now, see what happens when I get a day off? So let me ask you a question. We're getting ready to celebrate the Lord's Supper. It's a very special day. We only do this once a quarter. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, not a member of this church, that's not the issue. You belong to Him. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we invite you to celebrate with us. But before we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we're going to invite, in a time of invitation, any of those who are lost to come to know Him. And before we celebrate this Lord's Supper, we're going to invite the redeemed who may not have come ready to take a couple minutes and get right with him. And if God's called you to serve, then we want you to take that chance and come to his altar and lay yourself before him and say, all that I am is yours. I don't know about my gifts, talents, abilities. I just know I'm willing to give whatever I got to you, Lord. So this right here and right now is going to be the invitation. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you know God wants to do something with you, this is the time. You know that he wants to bless you in a special way. You need to get on your knees before him. You know that he's called you to serve him. You need to get on your knees and submit. You know that you have a loved one who's lost and you've been praying for. This may be another day to pray for. You know what the word backslide means because you've been in a slide for a while. This is the time to put a stop to the slide. Turn around and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. If you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not asking you if you're a member of the Baptist Church. That won't save you. We're not asking you, did you follow this guy or that preacher or that preacher? That won't save you. You have to have a personal relationship with the living God. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve lost a personal relationship. God came down and walked with them in the cool of the eve, and when they chose to sin and disobey him, he removed them from his presence. If you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no basis upon which you enter into his presence. And you have no other way to fill up that emptiness inside but by him. So I'm going to ask for a moment for every head bowed and every eye closed. And if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then I want you to pray with me. And you've got to understand it's not about the words we're going to be speaking, but it's rather that you believe them in your heart. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, right here and now, I admit I have sinned against you. I ask your forgiveness because your Son Jesus Christ paid the price for me that I might be forgiven. I repent of my sin, and I turn from it, and I turn to you. And I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior for all time.